Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
If you have your Bible, if you'll turn to Psalms 92, I want to read you two scriptures that I believe give us the thoughts of what it means to live a solid life in Christ. Psalms 92, verse 12 through 15. The righteous will flourish. I love that word, flourish, like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will bear fruit in old age. Everybody over 40 says amen. And they will stay fresh and green. I love that. As you age, you can stay fresh and green. Another version says, fat and full of sap. Proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no wickedness in Him. I love that idea that as you grow in age and in stature, you can grow in faithfulness. I see Ron Harris here. Ron Harris is an example of that to me. Ron, I know you don't mind me asking you, how old are you, Ron? He is a little over 70. Ron, I want you to stand. I want to look like Ron Harris when I'm over 70 years old. Look how good he looks. And he can wave. What's up? Brother living out in Livingston. Drives all the way to church. Faithful to church. Giver. Fired up about the things of God. We just got to love people that just stay solid in their life. Excited about God. Planted in God's house. Planted in the house of God. Love it. I love it. I love it. Look at the other scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 9. This is when Jesus is finishing the Sermon on the Mountain. Everything he teaches on that mountain that day is the greatest sermon we've ever heard. But he wraps it up by giving an illustration of a story that gives us the truth of how to be solid in our life. What do you have to do to stay solid? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these words, puts them into practice. It's like a wise man who built a house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that very house. Yet it did not fall because it had a foundation. It was on the rock. I like that, rock solid. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, does not put them into practice, is like a foolish man. He built his house on the sand. That's the choice we have every day of our life. Rock or sand, rock or sand, rock or sand, rock or sand, rock or sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. A great crash. You build on the rock, you'll weather the storm. You build on sand, you'll experience a crash. I want to live a life that weathers the storm. I want to live a solid life. I want to have a solid marriage. I want to raise solid kids. I want to be solid in my finances. I want to stay solid. I want to live a solid life. Can I have a good amen? You know, when I came to Christ, my sister's here. We got involved in a little church, and it was a crazy church, just wild on the beach. We had so much fun. A great pastor. He'd preach a long time, and I got saved. Just loved it. Just a few people there. And one day he preached. I went up to him and said, Pastor Mike, I want to be involved. I want to be used by God. He talked about it being a steward. I think he used the illustration of the talents. You know, everybody's been given a certain talent. What do you do with what you've been given? And I got so fired up. I said, I want to be faithful. He said, what are you doing with what you've been given? Are you using it? He talked about, we need more people to help in this church. And so I'll tell this story where I've told it before. But I met him after church, said, Pastor, I want to be involved. I want to be used by God. He said, what do you want to do? I said, I think I want to preach. I'd love to do what you're doing. I'd probably do it quicker. Get us on out of here. And he said, well, son, don't start that way. I remember he said something around the idea of, yeah, everybody wants to share, but nobody wants to serve. And if you want to get up and share your story, you better learn how to serve his story. Too many people want to share their story, but they don't want to serve nobody. And his principle was, before you can ever share your words, you better serve his words. And it just kind of, wow. And he said, so what I need you to do is I need you to pray, be a part of our prayer team here. And if you don't want to do that, don't come back to this church. And he did it with one of that kind of angry smile. Don't come on back to this church. So I went to prayer meeting. I've told this story before. It was just senior adult women, and they'd been senior for a long time. And they would pray, and we'd pray for hours, and they'd pray. And then they, at the end of every prayer meeting, they would put me in a chair. What they would do is put a chair in the middle of the room and say, anybody need prayer today? And I mean, they hadn't sinned in a decade. So they put me in the chair and pray on me and pray upon me. And so I did prayer meetings. And then after a while, the pastor came to me and said, son, I know you've been faithful in the prayer. And now I need you to do something else that's going to be more visible. And what I need you to do now is clean the church. And because you've been faithful in the secret, now I'm going to let people see you. That was not my idea of visibility. It was a vacuum cleaner. My idea of visibility was the pulpit. And so he said, no, you just vacuum the church now. And I did that for 9 months, cleaned the church, started learning how to value the church, value the house of God. Understand that if you're not faithful with one, you'll never be faithful with five. Come on, somebody. If you're not faithful with a vacuum, you'll never be faithful with a small group. And so he was teaching me those principles. And I, you know, I would vacuum. And then he came to me a little bit later and said, I think you're ready to preach now. So he said, you go get you a suit, get ready to preach. I got all fired up, got me a suit. It was lavender. It was fine. Bought it at the Oak Tree. Those were the Cool in the Gang days. It was double-breasted, short double-breasted. It was so bad. I like to have that suit now. Purple, when I bought me some purple Stacy Adams. Man, if you ain't never wore a pair of Stacy Adams, you don't even know what life is all about. Go get you some with your Assembly CD. And use some purple Stacy Adams. And so I had my purple Stacy Adams. I went to church, had a purple leather tie, kind of that whole Duran Duran flow. And some of y'all don't know nothing about that. Don't act like you do. And I walked in church with my purple suit, my shoes, and my tie. And I'll never forget, my pastor looked at me. He was standing there with the youth pastor. He said, son, you look like a grape. He took me to the back of the church, and he said, here's what I'm asking you to do. He said, I need you to teach these 9, 10, 11-year-old boys that are getting ready to walk in here for the next 52 weekends. If you miss one weekend, don't come back to this church. Commitment. 52 weekends. Commitment. I didn't have any illustration. I didn't have a bullhorn. I didn't have a video team. I had nothing. It was me and these kids, these demons from hell. They were demonic, fighting each other. I heard metal chairs moving in my sleep. They would fight each other, pick their nose, you know, just beat each other half to death. I'm teaching. They just say things out loud while I'm teaching, you know, and they try to tell me that I was wrong when I was teaching the Bible. I'd be telling a story and it was a little confused. So what? Moses is on the ark. It's in the Bible. It's a gumbo. They'd be like, I don't think Moses was on the ark. You don't know, you're going to hell anyway. You don't even know. Well, I was the teacher, preacher, and warden. But I also was the worship leader. And so last thing he told me is you better lead him in worship. Because if you don't lead him in worship, there's going to be no Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to need a lot of that up in here. And so I taught them two songs. There were two songs that I did it every single week for 52 weekends. The first one was an incredible song. It's like the spiritual hokey pokey called Father Abraham. And so I would do Father Abraham. We'd start off with Father Abraham. Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons has Father Abraham. I am one of them. And so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, right arm. Hokey, and do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. It's like a spiritual hokey pokey. And then the other song that I would sing in that dungeon of spiritual development was the B-I-B-L-E. Every week, we kind of bring it down a little bit, turn the lights down a little bit, just get a little mood going. It was a joke. Now learn to laugh at yourself. And I don't remember the tune. I always get the tune wrong, Josh. So I've got Josh accompanying me this morning. He's my accompanist. I never said that word well, accompanist. It's the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the word, or stand alone. Chris ain't the only one that can go high. You need glasses. It's the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. It's the B-L-E-I-E. Did I bring y'all back to some of y'all's church days? Little song leader. Raised in it. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. It's the B-I-B-L-E. That, my friend, is the key to living a solid biblical life. It's standing on the word of God. The Word of God, what God teaches us. It is impossible in the world that we live in today, with so much drift and so much craziness and so much pull, to be solid in God without the B-I-B-L-E. You have to make a decision. I stand alone on the Word of God. It is the Word of God that gives me strength. It is the Word of God that helps me in this unstable season I'm in. It's the Word of God when everything has no gravity and everything is floating around me and everything is losing its ground. It's the B-I-B-L-E that gives me a solidness, a foundation. When everything is shifting, when everything is sand, there is a truth of Scripture that helps me, and I stand upon it all alone. Don't have one foot on something else. Not leaning on something else. If you want to live a solid life, a solid family, have a solid future, I'm not talking about a struggling future. I'm not talking about an unstable future, a doubting future, up and down future, kind of here, there, everywhere, kind of floating, kind of in, kind of out, kind of wishy, kind of washy. I'm talking about wanting to live a solid life. Solid in your finances. Solid in your word. Solid in your faith. You stand upon the Word of God. I could talk about a million things that we could give a thought of thoughts. At the end of the day, the only way to be solid in this world full of sand is standing on the Word of God. It's building your life on the rock. It's the only thing that is not shifting. Amen. We so wonder and strive and lie and cheat and steal and fret and figure and connive and hunger and desire and dream and work to build thriving, fruitful, productive lives. But sadly, so many of us realize this great truth late. Because the only way to have a thriving, fruitful, productive life is standing on the Word of God. Say, do you know, how do I live a solid biblical life that looks like a steward? I'm going to give you three thoughts. It's going to be real simple. We're going to get right to it. The first one that I find is in Psalms 92, and we read that. I believe the only way to have a solid life today that would be honorable to God, where you can be fruitful and you can flourish, to be a solid steward of God, is to be planted in God's house. To be planted, and the other thing is to stay planted. You know, you couldn't grow a tree and get fruit if every 3 or 4 months you uprooted it and put it in another yard. Or you moved it around your farm. Eventually, it's got to stay somewhere. It's got to take root, got to be planted. And the Bible says those that are planted in God's house, Those that are committed to God's people. Those that are committed to spiritual family development. That's why I love small group and being a part of a local church. Why? It keeps us accountable. Because we all got a little wiggle in us. Can I have a good amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, you got too much wiggle in your walk. We just have wiggle. We don't like to admit it. We act like I ain't got no wiggle in my walk, and you wiggling all over the place. It's like B.O. Everybody knows you got it but you. And when you got wiggle in your walk, everybody knows you have it but you. God wants us to live solid lives. That means to be planted in God's house. Here's what happens when you're planted in God's word, God's house. You put God first. And if you want to have a solid life, and if I want to live a solid life, God's got to be first in my life. He can't be second or third. It's God first living, God first giving, God first communication, God first desire. You know, if someone asks you, what's the best financial advice you've ever received? Think about God first. You say, well, save money. That's incredible. Live within your means. That's huge. Invest wisely. Very important. Marry well. Marry well. For reals. Another solid biblical advice that to me is the best financial advice I've ever received was from a man by the name of Solomon. It's found in the book of Proverbs. And here's what Solomon said, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of your increase. The most solid biblical advice, talking about living a solid life. And we've been talking about being a steward. And a lot of times when Jesus talks about stewardship, he talks about what are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your talent? What are you doing with that unique touch that you have? And what are you doing with your treasure? What are you doing with what you've been given? And so how you and I live a solid life that reflects honoring God is we put God first in those areas. We say, okay, God, then you're going to be first in my time. I'm going to give you a little time. You're going to be first in my talent. So I realize that the talent that I have came from you and it belongs to you. So I'm not going to be all conceited. Look at me. Check it out. Look at me. What's up? What's up? Look at me. I can decorate a table. It's all about me, the table. Somebody gives you a compliment, says, man, that's a crowd. Well, you know, that's great. So he said, where'd you learn how to do that? Well, God's blessed me and I just worked hard. I went to school and things like that. You acknowledge that God has blessed your life. Amen. And you do that first. Amen. And with the unique touch that you have, some of you have a unique touch on your life. You can help people. You're a good listener. You care about people. So what do? You have time for other people. Whether you're a great athlete or great with math or whatever your skill is, you just make sure with this unique touch that I acknowledge God first with it. And then it's the same way with your treasure. Is God first in your finances? First in your finances. God first says that I'm planted. And God is first in my life. You got me tickled there, Nikki. Nikki, I thought you were coming on up on stage. I was like, maybe she has a word. You got me tickled. I got distracted. I know that's shocking. I got distracted. A butterfly. Okay, where are we going? Here's the second thing I love in Scripture. So the first thing, if you want to live a solid life, is to be planted in God's house and to stay planted. The second thing, and really it's not, they're not numbers. They're just right out of Scripture. Because Jesus requires these two things, and we just talked about in Matthew chapter 7. And that's to listen and to do. To listen and to do. I will never have a solid life. Ever. 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 If I do not listen and obey. Eventually, I have to listen to God's word. Eventually, I have to listen to other people that are godly and spiritual. Mentors in my life, people that got some sense. How many of us, if you listen to people that have no sense, you have no sense? It's a real simple principle. Crazy breeds crazy. And so if I want to live a solid life, I've got to listen to people that live a solid life, and I believe that's the word of God. That's why we love small groups, and we love, you know, going to a Dave Ramsey conference. That's why if you get planted in the church, we do a membership dinner tonight at 5 o'clock. I'll be down at our membership dinner and our Next Step class. If you're here and say, what do I do next? I feel God. We'll come to a Next Step class at 5 o'clock. We'll feed you. Starts tonight. I'll share with you a little bit. Why? Because we want to do everything we can to learn how to listen and to learn how to obey. Let me break this down real quick for you. Here's what it means to listen. What's difficult today is we often choose not to do what Jesus said or time-tested wisdom or spiritual leaders teach us. If we're not careful, we will not listen. Did you know that really the first step to a Christian life is simply to give Jesus a chance to be heard? Are we giving Jesus a chance to be heard? One of the last things he teaches on the Sermon on the Mount is, did you hear my words? Did you obey my? Are you listening? There's nothing more painful than a parent to give advice to a child and realize they are not listening to you. And then you give them advice, and then they go out and do the opposite. And what do you tell them? Why didn't you listen to me? It was not my opinion. It was my advice. Listen. How many in this room, don't raise your hand. It's amazing. You're such an eager bunch. Sometimes I can say, how many in this room don't even know what I'm going to say? You're so honest. Wish you would have listened. Yeah, Lord, I wish I would have listened. Why didn't I listen? Pain, Lord, pain. Going up the rough side of the mountain. Why didn't I listen? Ha! Listen. Why didn't I listen? I didn't listen to God. I didn't listen to truth. I didn't listen to my B-I-B-L-E. Listen. God, help us to be good listeners with the days that we have left. And then the last thing is to do. To listen and to do. Knowledge must become action. Theory must become practice. Theology must become life. No sense consulting with a doctor unless we are prepared to act upon the things we are told. Amen? No sense in talking to an expert if we're not intending to do anything the expert says. Yet thousands will listen to the teaching of Jesus every Sunday who have good knowledge and they've got great ideas. But yet they have little attempt to put into practice the words of Jesus. I want to say that again. Thousands will sit in church every Sunday and will hear the words of Jesus, will appreciate his ideas, but they walk out of church and they don't even have an intention on ever doing what he said. Well, that's a great idea, but I'm not doing that. And we wonder why our life is crashing down all around us. Jesus said, if you'll listen and then you'll do, the storm will come too. But it won't crash, you'll remain. Because you're listening and you're doing ties yourself into a foundation that is a rock solid foundation in the world that you live in today. But if you choose not to listen and then not do, then you are building your life on the sand that is shifting. Now, what's interesting about that, the rock and the sand. The listeners, the doers, the listeners, the non-doers. The storm comes to everybody. It's not if the storm's going to come. It's when the storm's going to come. There's a storm coming to a believer. There's a storm coming to a non-believer. There's a storm coming to a person who's doing right things. There's a storm coming to a person who's doing wrong things. It's not an issue of storm. It's an issue of how you respond to the storm. And how you respond to the storm is directly in proportion to what you are connected to. The difference in the story is the foundation. It's not the storm. Same storm. The rock held. The sand gave way. What kind of outcome do you want based on the storm that you will be facing in your future? Do you want to go through the storm rock solid? Ooh. Rock solid. I could punch, like I could break boards right now. I could be the power team right now with that rock solid. Whoa! It's so solid. Or do you want to go through the storm? It's your choice. Based on will you listen to God? And will you obey? I think what's interesting about the story, we'll finish with this, is obedience makes the difference. It's obedience. Amen? Here's the big idea. Jesus' truth is that obedience in the planning, the listening, and the doing is the only solid foundation for life that comes with promise. What's the promise? You'll be safe no matter what storm comes to you. I like obedience that comes with promise. Obedience that comes with promise. Jesus finishes up the Sermon on the Mount and says, if you'll be obedient, I'll give you a promise. If you'll be obedient, I'll have something attached to it when you open up obedience. And it'll be a big promise that you'll be safe when the storm comes to your life, because the storm is coming. The storm is brewing. I believe there's a storm on the way in a lot of our lives. I don't want it. I'm not looking forward to it. But I better be ready for it. Build my life on the rock. Build your life on the rock. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.